areas, actually, is what that should say. Shouldn't say waters, but it's all flood water, so.
Can we get the mic a little bit closer? Can you guys hear okay?
Barely.
Is there someone?
Oh, much better.
Much better.
Can we run the slides?
Yeah, I got you.
Okay. Okay, so yes, this is the master plan update for the Muddy River, and a little bit about the flood control district. We're a planning and funding agency. We are not actually part of Clark County, but we partner with Clark County. This plan will be Clark County's plan, since this area is part of unincorporated Clark County. So we will develop the plan in conjunction with Clark County Public Works, and then we'll provide planned master plan facilities to control floods in the Moapa Valley area. And then the prioritization of those projects will be mostly determined by the County Public Works Department. Okay, next slide, please. So here's the areas that we will be studying for the tributary areas and the Muddy River tributary areas. What we call the Western Washes is all the big runoff that comes from the west, from the mountains, and then the Eastern Washes, all the runoff that comes off the mountains from the east. And then obviously right through town, you have the Muddy River that is probably the source of most of your flooding when you get a big storm up north of I-15. In the Moapa area, kind of north of I-15, that's also part of this master plan update, but we don't really have any planned facilities out there. We just promote good floodplain management for that area there. So I wanted to point out all the flood control progress we've made in the Moapa Valley since 1990. And actually, there's a handout that hopefully some of you got that should be on the table over here. 11 by 17 has this slide on it, and also a board up here. So we've spent over $80 million, and that's in sort of, it's not brought forward to today, so actually more if you consider the time value of money. But total construction costs for flood control that the Regional Flood Control District has spent out in Moapa Valley is over $56 million. So lots of progress out here. I'm sure every time it rains, there's problems. I apologize for that, but we're doing the best we can to get as much protection as we can in place. Next slide, I think. So here's just some of the pictures of some of these our projects we worked on and back in the early 90s, and the Gann Avenue, the Yamashita Bridge, and then the Gubler Avenue Bridge, which is, go ahead, yeah. And then Cooper Street Bridge, that was a project that's fairly recently done. That was a big project. We did some channel improvements up and downstream of Cooper Street. So now we have pretty good access to both sides of the Muddy River in the event, so that was very important. And then the Logandale Levee, that's up north, and that was a big project for us too. There was a berm up there that was probably built years ago by farmers or something like that. So we went in and improved that and concrete lined it. So that's a lot more reliable facility now. And then just recently, we completed the Fairgrounds Detention Basin in Alcohol that I'm sure you all are aware of. Go ahead, next slide. Yeah, in total spent below $80 million. So what's the purpose of the master plan update? Why are we here? So we're required by actually NRS to update our master plans every 5 years. And the purpose of the plan is to add new information, to assess the progress of our plan, identify obstacles, and recommend changes. And that law was created in the 80s. So, I mean, we are actually looking at our plan pretty much every day. Every time a project comes in, we're doing this, you know, continuously. But we are required to kind of prepare a report and do a really deep dive into the master plan every 5 years. So the last update was done in 2020. Go ahead, next slide. So where are we in the process? First we get data, we collect the data for all the drainage studies and things like that have occurred since the last master plan. And we gather land use data and soils from Clark County. And that informs us how much of our, you know, we have to estimate when it rains, how much of that rainfall will become runoff, so we know how to size our flood control facilities. And so depending on what kind of land use you have, will depend on how much runoff occurs in a rainstorm. So that's very important information, and we get that from the county. And then right now, we're in this process of coming to the board, and we're pretty early in the process, so we still have time if there's any changes that you want to make. I mean, we want to get this plan done by the end of the year, and it's February, so I will say that Abigail Mayrena, she's here in the back row, she's our project manager for this project. She's doing a great job. I mean, it's February and we're over here. So, and Debbie Yamachika, sorry, we're just talking about how Yamachika and Yamashita sound alike. So Debbie Yamachika is also here. She's also a principal engineer at the Regional Flood Control District. They're here to support me and answer some questions. But so we're here to talk about this, and if there's anything that the community sees that they want to see us add to the plan, we can certainly consider it at this time. We're also in the middle of facility planning. That's really, we look at the planned facilities, we do the engineering models, and then we do cost estimates. We kind of estimate how much those planned facilities will cost us based on our anticipated revenue from the next, 5 years at least, and then beyond. And then if we need to come back in before we go to our board, I'll be honest with you, this plan has been pretty stagnant over the past few years. We're building projects, but the plan itself hasn't changed a lot because we think we have a good plan. It's just a matter of implementing it now. So we're not expecting to add a bunch of new facilities with this round, but we're certainly can consider other facilities if you guys want us to look at it. And then ultimately, this will go to our board of directors and then the board of county commissioners for ultimate approval. So here's the plan right now, and we also have a board up here that shows the entire plan for Blue Mountain Valley. The red facilities are projects that are not yet constructed, and the blue facilities are projects that are existing. And so you can see there's a lot of red still, and these are, as you would expect, we've already spent $80 million, and those are extremely expensive projects, but there's obviously a big need for flood control in this area. So on the kind of top of the page there is where we show the fairgrounds detention basin, what we call it, where that outfall down Whipple into the Muddy River. That's a recently completed project, which was very expensive, but it should do a lot of good for the community. I think, if you hit the slide, I think there might be, so that's that project and hit one more. So another thing we've added with this plan is between Gubler and that Gann Avenue project, there was a portion of the Muddy River that we thought we should kind of connect the dots between the outfall of that Gann Avenue storm drain and channel and into the Gubler Avenue Bridge. So the county right now has right-of-way and has rights to go in and maintain that. And that's another thing I should say about the Flood Control District is once we fund the construction and design of these projects, we also will fund the maintenance of them. The maintenance is actually done by Clark County Public Works, but then they bill us and we pay those bills. So right now the county has the ability, even though there's not a permanent, lined facility there, they can go in and if there's a need to clean out some of the brush or something like that or trash, they can do that and they can bill us for that work. So we added that little piece there. Ultimately, we may add some facilities along Muddy River from Gann Avenue all the way up to, Wells area where the Lovendale Levee is. But right now, that area is, by our models, is doing pretty well. So we don't think we need any facilities there now. And we have a lot of other work to do south of there that we're going to tackle first. And here's the area of the south. As you can see, the western washes, that's where all that water, I'm sure a lot of you are aware, that when it rains, comes off those mountains, goes underneath railroad, some existing culverts crosses over and gets into your community, and probably causes a lot of mud and nuisance, and that's a big problem. So our plan for that area is a channel and a bunch of detention basins. That's what those hatched areas are. Detention basins are sort of big bathtubs. They collect the water and they hold it, and then they release it very slowly downstream. So that channel will go all the way down along the railroad and eventually back towards and then connect into the Muddy River and get it safely down through town, through developed areas, down towards the community. So, as you can imagine, those facilities are very expensive, and we have to kind of build them from downstream to upstream. So, they will be prioritized for funding for design and construction by Clark County. So, what we do have in the next 10 years planned for the Muddy River is a project from Cooper to Yamashita. And that's some channel improvements along Muddy River there, and that will, the design is programmed on our 10-year plan to begin in 2028. And then Muddy River, so basically from Lewis down past Lewis south, is also started in the next, on the 10-year plan in 2029. So that's when the design will start. The way we program our projects is that once we start design, the construction funds have to be programmed within 4 years of that, so we don't end up paying for a lot of designs and not having the funds to do construction. So we make the county program construction following design within at least 4 years. So you can kind of get an idea. So for both of those projects, we should be getting under construction around 2032 or so. Okay, go ahead. So here we are, we're here, and I can certainly happy to answer any questions right now. If you want to get back to us and you want to like send us an email, we're gathering comments from the board or from citizens, and that email address. And certainly, I gave you my card, so yeah, I'm also concerned directly to me as well. And so, if any comments at all about flood control, some of them may not be in our purview, but we'll answer them, or we'll send you get you the right people to answer those questions.
I think Lois has a question.
I got one
after. No?
I have a couple of questions, you may have answered them already, but I want to make sure that I understand. So Public Works is in charge of cleaning the ones that are active and in place now. Who do we contact Public Works then to have those cleared up? We see some debris or anything, or do we contact you?
You can't either one. I mean, we that's a service we provide if we get an email. And even on our website, we have if you notice an area of a wash or a storm drain that's clogged or something like that, and we receive that, we'll forward on to the Public Works Department. And they're very good about responding to those inquiries. But certainly, if you want to reach out directly to Public Works, they can handle that as well.
And then my next question was, there are some areas, and I live in one of them, or I did, that are more prone to have water come during, you know, these storms and stuff than others. I know that you said you prioritize it from upriver to downriver. Would there be a way to prioritize it to housing, you know, to people being affected as opposed to not, you know?
Yeah.
During your study, and I'm not sure what the study time period is or what that means, or if there's a public input that we can say, hey, look at these pictures from past, and if there's a way we can help you to, because it's hard to see that unless you're here during a flash flood.
Yeah, no, that's a great question. The problem is that you're prioritizing against all projects in Clark County.
Yeah.
So that means the strip is in Clark County. So everywhere, so if they're looking at, you know, houses affected, then they're looking at, all right, well, there might be other areas that have a higher priority. So the county has a checklist they go through, and they rate every project on our master plan with a number, and then they come out with a score, and that score determines like which project will be next. But you can certainly, I mean, contact Dennis Cederberg, the Public Works Director. You can lobby, say, hey, Dennis, you know what, we need some flood control out here. And that's why I was, you know, told to say, hey, look at all the stuff we have done out here. So like as far as like to say, like, you know, we are working on it.
Oh, we
think it's a high priority to get these projects done. But you know, if we had infinite money, we certainly would be able to get a lot more done a lot faster. But we're pretty proud of our progress, and certainly if you have one of the big prioritizations is, you know, we continue to have flooding problems. So the county will create a database every time they get a complaint from an area, and they can start building that database up, and that informs us, okay, these are where the problem areas are. We can start making those a higher priority.
Yeah, kind of more specifically to the map that you have here. I wasn't talking, you know, in general. It was more the priorities to what I see that you guys have planned.
Right.
Which areas would be are greatly more affected than others as far as damage to homes and people's lives.
Right.
And we're talking about this very top one.
Mm-hmm.
This is the water that comes down behind the tracks, takes out Cooper, comes around to the boulevard, floods my yard, floods that whole area, comes up to her where she did live, goes up the street, makes it impassable.
Yeah, and that's I mean, so those that's really good information for us. And if you would, you know, send put that in an email.
They know all about it. Yeah. Marilyn's been promising me.
Yeah.
and all the other residents, we're getting it taken care of, we're getting it taken care of. This is one of the worst flooding areas in the whole valley at this point.
Okay, and so, we did meet with her, like, before, yeah, Commissioner, before we became this meeting, so. So she, we, you know, she's aware of what we're doing, and she's in support of our plan, so. Yeah, I mean, definitely, we talked to the Public Works Department, we talked to the Road Department, we asked them, you know, where do you guys go clean up every time it rains, you know, because they're always up, they're very busy every time every rainstorm. But we have kind of, like, different types of storms that would hit, like, when, you know, I'm sure you remember 2011 through 14, you know, when we have, like, the big storms that hit Muddy River, and then the big flooding from Muddy River. And then you also have nothing in the Muddy River, and then just it's just raining locally here, and then you have those kind of problems. So it's two completely different, and if you kind of run the engineering on it, then it's like neither one is more important, but there's a lot more potential damage coming from the Muddy River than there are just coming from the smaller storms that would come from the valley. So that might also inform how they prioritize those projects.
Well, according to the map, it looks like you guys have, you know, are aware of the areas that the ones down past Lewis,
yeah.
When the Cooper Street infrastructure was put in, it kind of pushed the water down to those houses, and they have almost more of an issue now than they may have before when we have those big events through the Muddy River. So I hope that becomes kind of a highlight to that area.
Yeah, I would like to know that. I mean, I was actually project manager on that Cooper Street Bridge project, and we had
saved so many houses.
We had a lot of modeling that showed, I mean, even while there, I mean, as you remember, when that was being constructed, they had a lot of rainstorms during construction, and that poor contractor was, like, really had a hard time getting that thing constructed.
It's been amazing. I know that all the people along Cooper Street and even a little bit further are grateful. I just know some people who live out on the other side that maybe are not so grateful.
Yeah,
I can't please everybody else.
I know it's hard to say, but, you know, our models show that it would be better or the same as it was after that project.
So yeah.
Certainly, everyone right around the bridge was a lot better off, but downstream, that's one of the things we do. We do a project, we have to, you know, prove to ourselves that, and to FEMA, you know, that we're not creating any worse problems anywhere else. So the models show that it wasn't, maybe the storms were slightly different than from one to the next. I can't tell you, but hopefully it's kind of working as designed, but I'm sorry to hear that.
With the cleanup, part of that might be that there are brush and debris that have grown in places that weren't there before. Is there,
yeah.
How do you determine that if somebody says, hey, it, you know, especially down in that area, if the say that just bushes have grown and stuff in the washes that weren't there, would that be something we would call you with?
Absolutely,
and
yeah.
Let you know?
So in that project,
or
because there's an environmental concerns along the Muddy River, and so right along the kind of the low flow, we call it the foul wig, but it's like where the flow is always flowing only in the river when it's not raining, that area we can't really touch. But where it grows, like, outside of there, we want to keep that clean for the big floods. So that's what we worked out with the Corps of Engineers when we designed the project, that, you know, just kind of protecting those habitats.
Yeah.
We just can't go in and, like, blade it all
yeah.
off. But we know that the bushes do grow outside of the areas of that, and then that can block the flow and that can change the path. So those areas for sure, Public Works can clean out, and then they bill us for that maintenance.
Well, I appreciate that. When people talk to us about it, we have a place for them to go to.
Yes. When you are talking about going from where you just did the bridge project at the Cooper Street Bridge, and you're headed on down to, let's say, Lewis, are you planning on cementing, or is that going to be gabions like you did?
Yeah, it's a really challenging project because the reason we kind of didn't do it with the Cooper Bridge is because it kind of really spreads out there and gets really flat. So we certainly aren't going to do concrete. I don't think anyone wants concrete there. I mean, we want to keep it natural and keep it nice. So maybe the gabions along the banks as much as we can do. But again, it's hard to kind of prove that we're not causing any other damages to other properties, you know, with these structures. So it's going to be some, and then when we build channels, then some of the side flow sometimes has trouble getting into the channel because we just built a structure there. Now it kind of blocks the flow from getting from the west. So it's a really big engineering challenge. But the plan there is to kind of spread it out as much as we can, like it does today, you know, because it does spread out today. And so we kind of leave it the natural path, but just kind of hard line it a little bit more so it's a little bit more stable. But yeah, concrete is not the plan. It's mostly natural, and then just the rock in the gabions.
Now, would that be the same coming from Yamashita to the Cooper Street?
Yeah, yeah. That the plan for all that is to keep the wash as natural as we can. Just right around the bridge, it was just like we couldn't make it work because it really pinches in where the bridge is, and the velocity got so high that it would just erode the banks away if we didn't put concrete there. So we kind of had to put concrete right around the bridge, but as soon as we could, as the modeling showed, we could stop the concrete, that's where we started the gabions, and then both upstream and downstream. So there'll be a little bit to do with the models, but our plan right now is to continue just the gabions and then the natural bottom with maybe some grade control structures there that you won't even notice. That it'll just look like a natural wash.
So kind of
a lot more flood protection.
Thank you.
Down in the main part of town, there's been some issues. I'm not sure if that's even in your realm or not. Down on the main street and things like that in the past. I know they worked really hard to mitigate some of those, and we haven't had rain since that's happened.
But it doesn't flood when it does rain. Yeah.
Is that something that is in your world as well? Any flooding is in your world?
Kind of, yes. So a lot of like what we call local flooding, right. But when we have a regional facility, we call these regional facilities for the regional flood control district, we can kind of, when we build a project, if we say like, hey, there's a local flooding problem a quarter mile away, we can send out a lateral pipe or something like that to collect that runoff and bring it to our facility. If we have an existing facility, then we can also, we have a local drainage program that the county can enter into and say like, okay, we have a local drainage problem. It doesn't really rise to the level of a big regional facility, but there are some things we can do in that way. Now, once we get all these facilities in place, then that will solve a lot more of those
problems.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right, does the board have any other questions? All right, does anybody Mark, if you'd like to come up.
Here.
Remember to state your first name, last name, and address, if you would, please.
Sure.
You can go ahead and sit down.
Hello, I'm Marcus Jensen, 5409 North Moapa Valley Boulevard. I've got some comments and questions relating to this proposed update to the master plan. Did we get the slide back that shows the tributary areas? Further back, general map. There we are. So the presentation tells us that it's addressing not just the Muddy River, but also the tributary areas. And the Weiser Wash is shown there as one of the major watersheds contributing flows to the Muddy River. Correct. So, I'm sorry, I am a civil engineer. Forgive me for getting into details. We know that we can try to control the flood impacts at the lower end of a flow regime, but it's also effective, and this is why the detention basins are part of their master plan, effective to try to control the water higher up in the flow regime so that you can collect and attenuate that flow earlier so that it has less impact down low, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So, are you familiar with the proposed cement plant that's going to be constructed, or is proposed to be constructed at the confluence of the Weiser Wash and the Muddy River?
Let him finish.
Just heard it, but not that word.
But when I built my house about 10 years ago, the county required me to grant a drainage easement along the Muddy River, even though my house was 300 feet above the river and I wasn't doing any construction at all along the river. The proponent for this proposed cement plant is going to be constructing a major industrial facility. In fact, there's a meeting coming up on the 24th to discuss their proposed zone revision from agriculture and residential to heavy industrial. And they are going to be constructing improvements on nearly 400 acres.
Mark,
yes.
Unfortunately, this is off topic. I don't mean to cut you off.
It's related to the flooding. Yeah, I'm getting
it. I would like to hear, Mark.
I'm getting it.
Thank you.
The construction of that major industrial complex will encroach into the floodplain of the Muddy River and the Weiser Wash. Maybe this would be helpful to you be aware of. It's on a Bridge Source website. So they're showing major construction in the floodplain, which if I were to build a house in that neighborhood, the county would tell me no, because I'll be constructing in the floodplain. When the floodwaters come down the Meadow Valley Wash and into the Muddy River, and down the Weiser Wash into the Muddy River, the flows tend to spread out in that area. With the construction of the proposed project, it's going to constrain the channel, the flow channel, and cause more water to flow downstream to your neighborhoods here in Logandale and Overton. So I think it's important that the Clark County Flood Control District consider the impacts from that proposed project.
And again, this is kind of outside of the town advisory board's realm. It would be going to county when they do permits and things like that, and then they may came back to revisit with us. But at this point, this really isn't something we have any authority over at all.
Understood. I'm making the comment to the flood control district so that they're aware of this, and I think they should be considering these proposed improvements as part of their 2025 master plan update. Also, I have a question as to whether this presentation is going to be presented at the Moapatown Advisory Board, because they certainly have concerns about those project improvements as well. It doesn't just affect the Moapa Valley area south of the I-15.
As he told us earlier, the Moapa area doesn't have any projected plans at this time. That's what he said. So I don't know if he would need to go
well,
to see
them or not. Well, I know residents in Moapa are very concerned about the flooding experienced in their neighborhoods.
So yes.
I would think it should be
Lori.
Included.
Go ahead.
Thank you.
That's okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mark. Is there anybody else who would have any questions or want to discuss anything in regards to the flood project? Nobody? All right, we're gonna head and close that time up then. Andrew, thank you so much for your presentation.
Thank you.
Do you guys want these boards or we lost them, but we can leave them with you or we can take them?
The board is
Actually, we still have copies over there.
You have copies of the.
I'll have copies in my office so that if anybody wants them, because I'm going to take those.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, we can leave anything you want, but we'll take
okay,
the
we'll leave the board then just in case.
Okay.
You can take your easels, though.
Okay.
Easier to see without readers.
Yeah. All right. Our next item on the agenda is planning and zoning, and we don't have any planning and zoning. The next item on that is general business, and we don't have any general business that we're taking. The next thing that's open is comments by the general public, a period devoted to comments by the general public about matters relevant to the board's jurisdiction will be held. No discussion, action, or vote may be taken on this agenda item. Comments will be limited to 3 minutes. Please step up to the speaker's podium if applicable. Clearly state your name, address, and please spell their last name for the record. If any member of the board wishes to extend the length of the presentation, that will be done by the chairperson or the board or council by majority vote. If you are here to speak about the mine that's going in, we're unable to discuss it as a board. However, you may speak your opinions about it, but please be kind. And we're gonna go ahead and limit it to 3 minutes. There's gonna be an informational meeting, and the flyer is available over here on the desk. And please, if you wanna grab that. And so if anybody wants to come up and speak about anything. Okay, Mr. Jensen, go ahead.
Forgive me.
You're fine.
This is a matter dear to my heart. I am grateful that you provided flyers that advertised that meeting on February 24th. This meeting is very important, not just for the people living in Moapa, who were targeted with the mailers and advertising, but it's important for the members of our community in Logandale and Overton as well. I was contacted by a resident who had inquired with the Planning Commission about this meeting, and she received some clarification that the person conducting the neighborhood meeting is required to send notices to property owners within 1,500 feet of the site or to 100 property owners, whichever creates the bigger mailing list. But all members of our community are invited to this meeting, and I would encourage you to attend. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Jensen.
And I would like to say that Commissioner Kirkpatrick personally asked me to make copies and have them available at any meeting so that people can share, because she realizes that it does affect both communities.
Is there anybody else?
Hello.
Our favorite librarian.
Chris Milk. That's M-I-L-K, like cow juice, for the record, 350 North Moapa Valley Boulevard. I am the town librarian, and I just came to tell you guys about a couple of fun things we have coming up at the Moapa Valley Library. So we are having our first adult game night ever, or in the whole time I've been here, which is about 4 years now, on the 20th at 5 p.m. We'll be playing bingo this month. Four prizes, not money. We're not allowed to do that. our book club book for this month is The Heaven and Earth Grocery Store. And then, oh, next month is Lessons in Chemistry. And they did a movie about that, so that one should be fun. We are doing our normal paint parties next month, first Monday, second Thursday. But we are also very excited, coming up March 8th, is one of our large annual events. We will be having our Pirate and Princess Fair. That is on the 8th from 11 to 1. We're welcoming all the families to come out. We have games, prizes, all kinds of activities. It should be a really fun day. And then, just because we've noticed the last couple of breaks, there's been a lot more families in the Valley. We are actually doing what we're calling Everything is Awesome Week during spring break. We will have Lego things Monday through Friday all day long. The kids can come play with Legos. We're going to show a different Lego movie every day. And there will be snacks at the movies.
So are there flyers and things like that?
I don't have flyers for those yet because it's
to Judy, so
more
we can
than
share.
A month.
I was going to say, if you can get it to me, I can get
it
out.
Calendars for Judy, and I'll have flyers at the next meeting.
Thanks.
Perfect. Okay.
And when is bingo? Bingo is next week on Thursday at 5. And then the 27th of March at 5, we're doing our first trivia night. So, fun things coming up, and I've got the calendars for Judy. Thank
awesome.
You so much.
Thank you,
Chris.
Thank you, Chris.
Oh, they're over here. If anyone would like to take a library calendar home, I brought them for everybody.
All right. Is there anybody else? Anyone? Anyone? All right, moving on. It looks like we have our next meeting date, February 26, 2025. Anything on the agenda?
Nothing yet.
Nothing yet, so to be determined. Before we adjourn, I just want to thank Metro for being here and supporting our meetings. It's always great to have you here. Yes, and then also, we're going to go down the line. If anything informational that you want to share, Kristen?
No.
Nothing? Lori?
Yes, the BLM is doing a Junior Ranger Day. We've had some, I don't even know how to say it. We're trying to educate our children on ATV safety and OHV safety. It's a big part of our community. We love it. A lot of our families are involved. My children were very much into it. So when they contacted me to be involved in this, I mentioned that to them. So they're incorporating ATV safety as a part of it. And they're going to be giving free helmets away. They're going to do a safety briefing. This is on March 29th, so they have a bunch of fun activities. They're going to do the Junior Ranger pledge and everything for them. They're going to get involved in the schools. So grab one of these flyers. I put it on Facebook, too. I know it's a little bit away, but it's going to be a really fun event and an educational event. You know, we want to do in honor of Sage, our young woman that we lost in our valley. That's why we're doing it. So, you know, and you're dear to my heart.
All right, Steph, anything?
Want me to read this?
Yeah, sure.
All right, so Overton's Cold War era T-41E2 tank, also known as M41A2, Walker Bulldog tank, is currently staged in front of Overton's downtown Main Street and First Government Building. It will be moved in March 2025 to undergo a complete exterior restoration. The tank has guarded Overton's historic downtown Main Street entrance since March of 1969. The tank will be returned to its longtime tribute site in time for the United States Army's 250th birthday celebration on June 14th of 2025. This restoration project will include repairing exterior broken parts and painting the exterior of the tank. Will be undertaken by veterans of VFW Post 83 under the stewardship of Garen Lee Fulmer and Post Commander Darcy Bushman. Post 8336 will hold a ceremony at the tank site on the 14th of June, 2025 to celebrate the tank's return and the Army's birthday. The last paint restoration was done in 2013 with the local Ace Hardware's help. Moapa Valley's M41 tank was built by Cadillac Gauge Motor Company about 1955. The M41 was an American light tank developed for armed reconnaissance purposes. These tanks were designed after World War II and rushed into production for the Korean War. However, they were too late for Korea and too early for the Vietnam. Most were sold to Vietnam and other allied nations as they were deemed too heavy for airborne reconnaissance operations and their guns were not large enough for armor engagements. Overton's tank was secured from the U.S. Army's Tank Automotive Command by Harry Perkins, then commander of Post 8336, and members of the local American Legion Post 38 through Senator Howard Cannon's help. Half of the 4,200 railroad shipping costs were paid by Moapa Valley veterans and local business leaders. The remaining half was paid by Las Vegas casinos, eager to find ways to attract more motorists into the Las Vegas area. So the VFW Post 8336 is actively seeking donations for this historic restoration.
Perfect, thank you. What about you, Lois?
I'm going to miss the tank, but it won't be gone very long, thank goodness.
I know.
Yeah.
Valleywide yard sale's coming up.
Woo-hoo!
March 7th and 8th. You can contact the chamber or the Progress. Second Saturday, Cal's Repair or Lori Houston to sign up. It is a $15 donation to go on our map, which will go in the newspaper. And we have until 12 p.m. on February 27th to get on the map. Always a fun time.
Thank you, Lois. What about you, Judy?
Okay, the clothes drive. Clothes for Comfort. The commissioner does it every February 1st through March 1st. What we do out here is the clothes we collect, we get them all spiffed up and ready to go, and when we have our back-to-school drive in August, along with the supplies that the county gives us, we also have clothes for kids. They like new underwear, new socks, but used clothes are fine. Just make sure that they're not dirty or tattered. Sometimes I open up bags and it's like muddy boots and with stuff. So things that you might still wear or your kids might still wear if you hadn't grown out of them. So we really look forward to a good turnout with a lot of clothes because last year it was the first year we did it that way and it went really, really well. We had probably over 200 people in the 2 days come in and get their school clothes and their school supplies all at the same time. And there's flyers for everything we've just mentioned on this table so that if you want further information, it's there, it's available, including the neighborhood meeting that will be in Moapa about the, I call it a cement plant. I'm not really sure exactly what it's. That kind of a plan. So, but if you want to learn about it, everybody's invited to it.
All right. Anything else?
Nope.
All right. Just want to tell everybody the airport is moving forward. They're going to start phase two of the Perkins Field rehabilitation. Bids are starting to come in on the new tower. So we're going to get a new tower out there. Designs are coming in for the new pilot's lounge, so it's pretty exciting. Haven't been told exactly when they're going to be breaking ground on the new facility. However, bids are starting to come in, so it's pretty exciting up there. The airport, since the renovation on the runway, has actually become quite a bit busier. We used to have anywhere from three to six planes out there on the ramp that would be you know, parked there daily, and now we're up to 8, 9, 10 planes daily. So our little airport, the money that they put into it, it is getting put to good use.
But do they still have the car up there that they can use?
No, they don't have the car anymore. Okay. There was some insurance issues with that. But they're going to try and work that out, because most of the, you know, offsite airports, they do have a loaner car. So hopefully we can get that put back into play. That was kind of handy to have up there. But I'll talk to Perkins Flying Club. They're the ones who sponsored that car. And I can get some more information for you that way. Anything else? Anybody? All right. Well, yes. Happy Valentine's Day. Valentine's Day Friday. All right. So we're going to go ahead and adjourn the meeting. It's 7:48. So meeting adjourned. Thank you, everybody, for coming. We appreciate you.
Ow. Oh, Jesus. What'd you do? Oh my God.
I need the record. You didn't understand any of this.
Okay. No problem.
But I mean,
you and I can get together. I have my notes. I have the minutes, but we didn't turn it.